In February of 2016, scientists announced the detection of gravitational waves. These disturbances in the fabric of space-time were predicted by Albert Einstein over a century ago, but they'd still never been directly observed. As epic as this discovery was, it was still the first step towards observing the universe in an entirely different way. A team of Australian scientists led by physicist and gravitational wave pioneer Professor David Blair of the University of Western Australia has developed two new devices that will allow us to view gravitational waves in much finer detail. Now, Professor Blair, I think I have him on the line. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I hope you can hear me this time.
I can hear you. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, it's early where you are. Thank you so much for getting up.
That's fine.
Now, for the uninitiated, what are gravitational waves and what causes them?
Well, gravitational waves are the only other type of waves that we know of that can travel through empty space at the speed of light. The first one is radio waves, which is which are the magical things that are letting us talk to each other right now. But and they were predicted in 1860, and after a huge search for about 25 years, and then even more time after that, we ended up having the first radios. So that was the first type of wave. And the second type of wave, Einstein predicted in 1916, and exactly 100 years before we detected them.
Wow.
And they seemed to Einstein something impossible to detect, and he said, oh, it's only academic interest. But a few crazy scientists decided they'd carry on anyway. and we thought, well, we'll do it. And actually, at the start of my career, which was like nearly 50 years ago, I thought, well, we'll build a gravitational wave detector and detect gravitational waves, and we'll go on and do something else, you know, in a couple of years later. And never did I know that I was going to spend 40 years trying to work out how to build these detectors. But eventually we got there.
You
that's
got
the amazing
there.
Thing.
I hope you like cracked the champagne, or you like went out for a nice meal or something. How did you celebrate?
Oh absolutely. It was the biggest thing. You know, it was you know, every newspaper had it on the front page, and you know, we were sort of instant celebrities, so it was very really fun at that time. But all the time we knew we wanted to do something better, because we needed more sensitivity. The first gravity wave we detected was coming from two black holes that collided together. Then within about 4 or 5 months, we detected three of those things going off in different places in the universe, these giant collisions taking place. And we've been gradually making small improvements and more small improvements until before COVID, we were detecting them about once a week.
Wow. Okay.
And starting to find out, what we found was that there's this amazing population of gigantic black holes colliding out there in the universe. So that was, astronomers had never expected it, and it was, you know, super exciting. But we also discovered something else in 2017, which was two neutron stars colliding together. Now, neutron stars are the heaviest, craziest things you can possibly imagine. When I say heaviest, they're actually about as heavy as the sun, a bit more, but they are only about the size of central Sydney. They are tiny things in comparison, and they're like a sort of a giant nucleus of an atom, but, you know, instead of being, you know, a billionth of a meter in size or something, these things are about 10 or 20 kilometers in size. And so we saw that, and two of them collide together, and we're pretty certain that it turned into a black hole. The trouble is that we couldn't What we're picking up are these gravitational waves, which are a bit like sounds that travel through space. And most of the gravitational wave signals we picked up have been around about middle C on the piano, so around about the middle of the piano and a little bit lower than that.
Okay.
But when two neutron stars collide, and especially when they turn into a black hole, they are right at the top end of the piano, the highest notes. And our detectors just can't hear those high frequencies. They're just deaf at the high end. So the part that was most interesting for us is when the matter turned into a black hole. And the reason for that is that if you play that in reverse, it's like the Big Bang where the universe was created.
Oh, right.
I want you to give you one idea. Space and time actually started in the Big Bang, and the Big Bang was a bit like something like a black hole that then spat out and turned into the universe.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But space and time comes to an end inside black holes, and when we see two neutron stars coalesce, we're seeing matter turning into going to this end point of where space and time doesn't exist. It's the end of space and time down in there. And so if you could see that, you're actually seeing like the creation of the universe in reverse.
Oh, my God. So what is the next step for you guys then in your research?
Well, we've got to find a way to make these detectors able to hear these high pitches, these high notes, and it's a really hard problem. But we've been working on this for quite a few years now, and we've come up with this thing that is also completely amazing and astonishing, but we think it can work. At first we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could have certain sorts of crystals that could where we could change our detector in an amazing way. And I'll tell you what this amazing way is in a second.
But we're just about out of time, but definitely.
You know, everybody's familiar with a playground swing.
Yes.
And a playground swing, when you push a kid on a swing, you push in time. And as long as you push in time, the swing gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You amplify the swing. And that's called amplifying by resonance. Now, could you imagine? It's really hard to imagine that you had two swings side by side.
Yeah.
And one, what you pushed really slowly and it got big. And the swing got big, and the other one, you pushed it really fast, you know, frequently, many, many pushes, and it got big. Well, the only way that could happen was if one was a short swing and one was a long swing. Oh. Now, the amazing thing we've discovered is a way to make a swing have all lengths simultaneously, so that all different pushing times build up. And we have a name for this, which we call a white light cavity. And people used to think, oh, this is impossible. This is fundamentally impossible to make one of these things. But this is some of the weirdness of quantum physics, that you can actually do it. And what we worked out, and then we found two devices that would be our swings. One is a little thing we call a phononic crystal, and another thing, which is a type of quartz crystal, a very special quartz lens. And these two crystals, both of them, turned out to have the properties to let us make one of these amazing devices that can make all frequencies get bigger. And what that means is we stick it at the back of a gravity wave detector, and these high frequencies that we couldn't hear would get bigger, and then we could hear them.
Oh, my God. Well, Professor David Blair, I think that it sounds like you were just entering such an exciting phase of your research and your career. I would say it's been well worth the 40 years' persistence. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.